Good to have you with us today. And if you're a little warm, just put your hand up. I told Tom, yeah, somebody's fanning back there. So, you know, he'll probably turn the AC on. We're in that in the between. Is it cold? Is it hot? Is it, you know, so. Anyway, I want to talk to you this morning about something that we all can relate to. We're all familiar with unbelief. I don't know if, you know, you might say, PB, I never fight unbelief. Then lying is probably your problem. But I think we'd all could say, yeah, that, you know, it is sometimes hard. Isn't it easier to tell someone else what they need to do than when you're walking through it? Or you're in the midst of pain or whatever, and somebody says, all you need to do is ABC. And you just want to go, I'm trying. And it just is tough. So I wanted to give us some points today just about breaking unbelief. Because sometimes we don't even realize we're in unbelief. There's been times I thought I was completely in faith to find out I wasn't. I mean, I like to think I was. I thought I was. But then I wasn't. Because here's the bottom line. You can say whatever you want, but the word never lies. So you can say, well, no, I didn't get healed, so God doesn't heal. That's not, God does heal. God's already healed. You have an unbelief problem, not a faith problem. We all have faith because we are given the measure of faith, but we all deal with things in our natural because we have lived and walked on this earth. So like I said before, I'm going to work. Hopefully we can look at a mindset a little bit. Did you know that faith is a noun? Faith is a noun, and belief is the verb. You know, a noun is just, it's there. So we want to, God, help me believe. You have put things in place that I can believe on. Your word is that. So help me do that. So I'm going to give you three things to help overcome belief today. Now, I don't know about you, but does anybody have a week where it seems like the enemy just fights against you? Maybe you've not had the week, you've had the month, maybe the year. Maybe it's just been, you know, that kind of thing. But we have more than enough faith to fight the enemy. And I got to help you be convinced, if he gave you the measure, and a mustard seed is the smallest seed, and that's all you need. We just think we have to have gigantic faith, or you have to be, you know, somebody for God to move or whatever. Everybody look at your thumb. Did you know each and every thumb in here has a different print on it? You have a different thumbprint. There's nobody else like you. You are thumb buddy. I mean, God only made one, and I know my wife's probably, thank you, Jesus. There's only one Brett. But sometimes we go through tough times, and it's hard to see the forest through the trees, or however you want to determine that. And we want to see a miracle. We want to see things happen. Matthew 17:20 says, Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to here, and it'll move. Nothing will be impossible to you. Sometimes that's hard to hear. Well, Lord, I thought I was in faith. I've been quoting it. I've been saying it. But so many times we get so wrapped up kind of in the doing instead of the truth. Let me explain. We will get our faith put into somebody laying hands on us to be healed. And they'll say, well, Brett, the Bible says that. Well, listen. That's why we need to understand. We don't want to put our faith in the laying on of hands except for that the Bible says that the laying on of hands. Does that make sense? So we have to get everything under the book, under the word. So I'm not, my faith is not in a person. It is in the word that declares. So, and it's not in the action, but the action followed by obedience to the word. So that makes a difference. And sometimes it's easy to gray those areas together. Now, Jesus goes to his hometown where he didn't do mighty works, and it says because of their unbelief. That's in Matthew 54 through 58 of chapter 13. So what is unbelief? It's believing something other than what God has said about whatever situation you're in. Believe Jesus was raised from the dead. You can believe that he's your Lord. You can believe he's coming soon. But when you're in the midst of the trial, when you're in that furnace, when you're looking for the fourth guy standing in there, sometimes it's a little tough. If we don't do what he says and we don't believe, see, that's what we do. We pick out parts of this and say, I'll believe this, but I won't believe that. We're operating in unbelief when we think, hey, it's just, I make my own rules. You can make your own rules, but it doesn't mean the word will not change. You can believe in him and still not believe what he says. I got a lot of people, hey, you believe in God? I'm a Christian, I believe in God. The devil believes in God. So we have to understand there's something past just natural. When you get born again, that is a supernatural thing. That's what happens. You're supernatural. Your spirit connects with God's. That's supernatural. Hebrews 3:12, beware, brethren, that lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. The Bible calls an evil heart or a hardened heart a heart of unbelief, and that grieves the Lord. So why is it so important? Everything is based, your faith, your belief system is based all on what you believe. You know, how many watch sports? If you're a sports fanatic, you watch sports, you got a lot of great athletes that come out, they score a touchdown, they slam the ball down, you know? I mean, there's a guy that doesn't believe in God, let's say he's believes in the devil. How about the guy that doesn't know what he believes? You're going to believe in something. And even if you don't believe in God, you'll believe in the enemy by default. Because there's really two things, heaven or hell. Your success is based on your faith in God. Mark 9:23, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. All things. Doesn't say some of the things, part of the things. It says all things. And if we don't believe what God says, we stop his hand. And see, people are just, oh, no, we can't. Yes, you can. We have gotten agreement with words from the enemy or something like that, and we're believing God to do something, and it's not happening. It happened with both my wife and myself. We've tried things, and one time the Lord told her, stop hindering me. Because you got an agreement with something that wasn't what the word said. And so she broke that and basically going to do what I'm going to show you here, and everything changed. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. And that's where God wants us to live. Can you imagine if you walked and you're walking, and I'm not saying you're there yet, I'm not there yet, I've never arrived, but starting to believe God, well, if God said that, I got to believe that. That's awesome. And we start walking that way. What if it's possible, and it says all things are possible in him alone, so, man, if I just line my faith up with God, that means I could actually walk this out to a way that I'll have success. And that's what sets us apart from a lost and dying world. People that follow God and have his hand on them and are successful. And you see fruit. And you're like, I want that. God, how did that happen? That's kind of what drew me to Pastor Gary, is because he would talk to me. And we're both believers. I was still going to heaven. But man, I want to go to heaven and at least have success down here. How about you? You remember back in the day, I remember growing up in a Methodist church, and I've been talking to some people, and they'd be like, I just can't wait till Jesus comes. Oh, glory to God, and all this will be gone. You know, and some of them were 40. I remember talking to a guy that was like, he was like 40. And I'm like, dude, you act like you're 80. Well, God will take me home someday. Sooner than you think. I don't want to live like that. But I would see things and I would, so Pastor Gary and I would talk and he would welcome that. Because he was excited about the kingdom because he had fruit and that's what I was looking at. I was like, how did that happen? So Kim and I started following those laws in the kingdom and those principles and things started happening, what God wanted to happen. And people come up and said, how did that happen? And we would just point to the kingdom. Because that's what a sign is. It points to something bigger than you. We just point, God did that. I mean, you can say whatever you want, but I'm just telling you. A few months ago, he told me to give my car away. I gave it away, went 2 months with no car. I have a white 4Runner sitting out there that's totally paid for. I didn't pay a dime for it. God did that. Now, 2 months of walking that out wasn't real fun. These boots are made for walking. But I got through it. But I constantly had to fight my confession and other people's view of that. I tried not to let too many people know, because how many know sometimes it's not good to let everybody know what you're doing? Because you get a lot of opinions. You might be going through some stuff today. Maybe you're facing some giants, some mountains. Maybe like the fellow with the demon-possessed child, and he yells out to the Lord, Lord, help my unbelief. Because when you're in the middle of all of that, sometimes it's like, I can't even think straight. Especially, I know there's mamas out there. I know Mal's got a four-year, how old is it, Arrow 4? Yeah, okay. 4, and Asher's just over 3 months, and he's attached. And so she's got Asher and Arrow, and Arrow's just, man, he's active. And so, you know, she comes and we go see her. She'll be like, I'm sorry. I want to get this done. I just can't. You know, because she's dealing with kids and all of that. So sometimes in her brain, I think she's like, I just need. Because I'd come home and we had 4 kids. I'd come home and I don't know how she did it. And she would be so glad I was home. She just said, I want to talk to an adult that doesn't pull on my shirt and go, I want some apple juice. He's breathing my air. You know, that kind of stuff. And she'd say, Daddy's home. And she'd go, you take care of it. All the fathers can go, uh-huh. Because that's what we do. I mean, we come home and that's what we do. But God is looking for people, his people, that will believe what he says without wavering, to keep the weeds of doubt out. So here we go. Here's the first one. You can break unbelief by just knowing God's will. Many people don't want to know God's will. They want their will. But his will is stated in his word. So, we just need to not compromise the word and just look at the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Can I just say ignorance ain't bliss? That's the devil's playground. Remember that saying? We just don't, well, I don't know. Well, sometimes maybe we need to know a little more. But if the enemy knows he can keep you from knowing what belongs to you, what authority you have, he's starting to hook you. I got to talk to Margie. Margie, where are you at? I saw you somewhere. There you are. Margie said her and Rob had to make a trip to the emergency room. She didn't ask me to say this, and he doesn't even know I'm going to say it, but I'm this far away from him, so... I don't think I can beat him in a fight, but I can outrun him. he went there because he had a big knot on his leg. And she showed me a picture of it. And I was like, wow. And she said, but we just took authority over it. And we were out there for, because you know, the emergency room, that's a 3-hour tour almost, isn't it? The weather started getting rough. Anyway. They just took authority over it, and they went home, and in the morning, it's almost completely gone. Why? Because the word works every time. You have to take authority, and people just, we don't grab that. We just think that, well, I don't need to do that. Yes, you do need to do that. Faith is voice activated. Because the enemy will smack you with unbelief. He'll smack you with, you're sick, you're broke, you're depressed. Nobody likes you. Everybody hates you. Go eat some worms. whatever. He's going to tell you all kinds of things. And if you take the bait, he'll just start reeling you in. But he is overruled. Listen to me. Your mindset has to change because you're going to break unbelief. He is overruled by the word of God. So you can call the liar out. That's what Jesus did. Think about that. If the devil will lie to the Son of God, you think he's going to go, I can't mess with you. He's an idiot. If he's stupid enough to mess with Jesus, he's stupid enough to mess with you. So you have to, Jesus just said, no, it is written. It is written. Do you understand what written means when he says it is written? He's not saying, dear Sally, I like, you know, he's saying, it is written. It is in the word of God. God says that I'll live by what he says. It's written. This is what is permanent. This is what doesn't change. What you're telling me is a lie, but I'm standing on this. And when he states that, he tried it three times. And then he said, he left him, and then angels came and ministered to the Lord. He's overruled by the word of God. Maybe you're praying for healing today, and you're saying all the right words. Thank God, I believe I receive. But inside, you're thinking, I wonder why this hasn't happened. We've all fought that. All of us. Me, you. We can still stagger, even though we confess and we're doing our best to believe. You know what we have to do? We have to ask God. What am I not seeing? Where's my bump in the road here? And maybe it's just a timing thing. Just rest, just peace, just believe. Or maybe it's something else. We are saying it, and I would rather hear you say it and believing that you're going to catch up to what you're saying than not say it at all, because you need to hear yourself saying things, and I get that. But what we do is we let other things talk louder than the word, and that's what's happened with me. I hope I can help you here, but, you know, if you're fighting whatever you're fighting, let's, you know, say Rob's leg or a headache, and you pray and you said, Father, I believe I receive, and you still have the headache, we let the pain talk louder than the word. We let the circumstance speak and take precedence in the word, of the word. You're not denying that the pain's there. That's like somebody saying with a cast on their arm, is your arm broke? Nope. Okay? But you are saying, I'm believing by the hand of God that I have supernatural fast healing and that is being healed as I speak. And so what we do is we change our mindset. Instead, we are saying the right things. Father, thank you for taking this headache away. I believe I received when I prayed. Yes. Now speak to the pain. Speak to the specific. You'd be amazed at what starts to happen. Start attacking the specific. Because what we do is we try to attack the general. And I'm not saying that's not working, but I'm saying you want it quicker? Don't do the shotgun method, do the rifle method. Laser in and go, this is what the word says, God wants me well. This is what my wife, you saw her last week. She's a 5 foot, if her hair's powerhouse. She's like dynamite in a small package. And she'll be telling me, and I have to keep telling her, she'll say, this is not directed at you. Okay. But it sure seems like it because she's so passionate. But she's not directing at me. You know what she's mad at? She's mad at the devil. She's mad at whatever he's up to, and that's what she is pointing out. And that's what she's calling out. You got to get where if you, in Jesus' name, I speak to this. Father, I thank you. And then do something that the devil wouldn't want you to do. Start praising him. Start, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Do whatever he's telling you, what the Lord's telling you to do. Start using the principles of faith. Well, Brett, since we're human, how can we avoid it? Well, part of you is Holy Ghost. If you're a believer, you're one-third Holy Ghost. Body, soul, and spirit, your spirit's connected with God. So you know what? You use the spirit. You claim the promise. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. You get your mind in line with the word. You got majority. And your body will fall in place. Did you hear me? You get your mind in line with the Spirit of God that's inside you, and you get the word on that, and your body will do nothing but fall in line. Hebrews 4:11 says this, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." You know, diligent, that means you're purposeful. I'm going to stay focused. I'm going to stay on point. I'm going to stay on target. You got to work at it. It doesn't automatically happen. Faith, again, is voice activated. You grab the promises of God day after day and just don't get so casual about the word. Don't be like Samson. Oh, I know how to do this stuff. I don't have to. But you stay close. You stay connected. Don't let pride get you out of position. Stay open to the word, because the word never changes. What if God has you do something different? I mean, you look at Jesus healing people. He did so many different things, didn't he? I mean, he didn't do the same thing every time. He didn't go up to anybody that was dead inside. Lazarus, before you come out, let me get some mud in your eyes. He didn't do the same thing. What if God had you do something different? What if he said, I don't want you to sow this, I want you to sow this? Okay. What if he said, I want you to go and take care of this? I want you to go over there and pray for them now. I want you to bless them this way. But God, I know. You know, I'm just telling you, I'm just trying to help you here, because when he told me, I want you to give your car away, I said, I've done that like 5 times before, Lord. And he said, yeah, it's been a while. Said, okay, you got me. But you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, you want it to be like, I'll sow it, and that day, you know, the prize mobile comes up, woo-hoo, and they got some big sign, and somebody's bringing you some. No, 2 months of like, okay, Maddie, can I borrow your car? And I'd put gas in my daughter's car. She was wonderful. She let me, you know, take her to work. She'd come to the office with me and sit here for 2 hours because it was too early for her to go to work or whatever, and then I'd take her to work. And that whole time, I mean, the enemy just pounding me. What's your daughter think? Boom, boom, boom. What's the people think? Boom, boom, boom. I mean, just boom, boom. But he's good. He's looking for people that will believe him at his word and stand on it. You remember that demon-possessed boy we talked about, and the enemy just went rampant on that boy, and he fell into the fire. And the guy says, well, I asked your disciples to do it, and they couldn't do it. Jesus says, well, you bring the boy to me. And he cast the demon out, and the disciples said, why couldn't we? This is in Matthew 17, 19, 20. He says, because of your unbelief. And then he says, this is verse 21, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And so people for years in church thought, okay, well, all demons don't come out with the name of Jesus. You have to pray and fast. You can't fast a demon, y'all. He's not talking about fasting a devil. He's talking about they needed to know. He was wanting to show something that they needed to do, the disciples needed to do, not the devil. And so they needed to stay connected to get the fresh rhema word so they could go, ba-bam! And then that devil would have said, hop. So he's trying to teach them something. Now listen, there's all kinds of things that are happening. He was telling them to overcome unbelief. What is it that they didn't believe what he said? He had told them before, just just earlier, 9:1 of Luke, he called the 12 disciples together and he said he gave them power and authority over a portion of the demons. It says all, doesn't it? It says all demons and to cure diseases. He already said, I have given you power and authority, but not one of those guys said, wait a minute, let me think about what he said. This thing has to come out because we have authority. They got afraid and backed up. You see, they're walking that fine line like we have done between belief and unbelief. We have to be aware of that. That's really the difference between receiving what God has for us and then maybe just, you know, I think in here, it's happened to us before, there's things that you should receive or are coming your way, but you haven't got them yet because you're right on that line. We're doing this. There's a well-known minister one time. He was having a healing meeting. And a man couldn't. By the way, Wednesday, God's going to heal people Wednesday. So you need to be here. Anyway, he was having a healing meeting. And the guy couldn't bend over. From the neck down, he was stiff as a board. So God told the minister, he said, lay hands on him and cast out that devil. He laid hands on him and told him to see if he could bend over. The guy couldn't do it. So he did it again, and he asked the guy, he said, see if you can bend over. The guy couldn't do it. So then the minister just kind of backed off, and the Lord spoke to him and said, it's like he turned around, and he could almost see Jesus. Have you ever turned around, and your mama's right there, and she's about to give you what for? Yeah. You know, my kids would turn around, and she'd be like, I have had enough. Of course, when a mama's had enough, your party's over. But Jesus said, I told you to cast that thing out. And he said, I tried, but it wouldn't go. And Jesus said, I said cast it out. That's kind of like, yes, sir. So he called the guy back up front. And he laid hands on him again. And then he said, bend over right now and touch your toes. And the guy bent over and did it. Do you see the difference? See if you can bend over and touch your toes. Bend over and touch your toes. There's authority. See if you can means, no. Maybe. I might. God is giving you authority so that you can have the things in your life, not just stuff, but I'm talking joy, happiness, peace, rest. A small difference in belief, but a big difference in result. Now, to all the dudes in the room, if there's, you know, there's guys that want to throw down or whatever, there's people that you know,
knock this off. I dare you.
I don't do that. I got no time for little games. Can I get an uh-huh from the guys? I got no time for that. If I'm not allowed to leave and we got to throw down, I'm going to mess you up. Now, you know, that was back in the day. My wife said, you're a redneck. I'm not anymore. So, you see, what are you standing for? You're standing for Jesus. He has given you authority. We need to take that authority with that same devil. I'm not asking twice. I'm not asking because I'm coming now. You understand? I mean, do we have that kind of aggressive authority when it comes to the Word of God? That's what you need to have when it comes to unbelief. That's one of the things I like about my wife because she is like fierce. Sometimes I have to keep telling myself, it's not directed at me. It's not directed at me. But, I mean, she don't care. I mean, the devil can say, she's 4'11". I'll be like, have at it, buddy. She's going, you're in a lot of trouble. I mean, she's going to tear you up one side down the other. But see, our mind starts arguing with us because the symptoms start talking louder. But see, this hasn't happened. What if you have to pray more than once? Who cares? Pray it. Take authority and take back what's yours. I mean, do you want him? What's your alternative? Just let it come? Come on. Let him know this ain't, this is not your territory. This is God's territory. Get your mind back to Jesus. Get your mind back to the cross. Get your mind back to Calvary. Get your mind back to the promises of God. Get rid of unbelief. Get rid of the what if or the yeah buts. How about this? Oh, if it be thy will. His will's already here. People pray that. The enemy loves it. Oh, Lord, if it's your will that I be made whole. It is his will. It's stated so many times in there. Get in the word of God till your hope gets filled. Your expectancy gets strong and you begin to expect glory to happen. What's it look like to be healed? What's it look like to, I can't do this. What would it look like if you could? How would you, do you remember what, you know, when you could move and feel that way? Think and picture that again. That's what you need to picture. Get your mind off how you feel now. I'm telling you, if I could do some things and take them back, I would. Wasn't that long ago I went to the emergency room because I was tired and I was fighting a battle. I didn't know if it was related to my heart or what, and I was just being hit from all sides. And if I could take it back $6,000 and some later, I would have did it different. So in that instance, I didn't practice what I'm preaching to you now, but I learned my lesson. I'm just being as vulnerable as I can. I wish I'd have did it different. Secondly, breaking unbelief, you have to reject fear. And I've got an object lesson. Let's pray that it works. Okay, see this bag? No, Brett, I don't. Father, let their sight return in Jesus' name. Okay, this says purpose, if you could read it. I don't know if I put it on there with a marker, but every one of you in here has a purpose. But you know, when we, faith is the substance of things what? But evidence of things not seen. Did I get that right or did I have it backwards? I got it right. Okay. So to follow the Lord, there's going to be risk in the natural realm. Amen? Because you can't see it. He's saying, I need you to give this large amount, whether it's money or I need your time or I need you to do this. And you're like, okay, because I got a bigger purpose for you. And then things start happening. The enemy, you can't give that amount. You can't do that. And God has a purpose. Now look. Gibby, you want to stand right under here? But let's just say, this is darts from the enemy, okay? That's why I picked this. Again, thank you, God. But let's just say this. He shoots some at you. Your purpose is still going. And yet there's nothing happened. Because your mind is made up on what God has called you to do. And he's like, oh no, they're still not stopping. And he shoots another one at you. But you stay on course because you know what the word says. And maybe you're like, I'm doing this, but boy, there's some, let's go from the other side. There's pain. Then I'm going to address the pain. I'm going to fix it. Oh, my kid got sick. But I still have purpose. You see, all of these things in this life, I have one more pencil. In this life, you will have tribulation. And it is the enemy's job to get you off of what you're called to do. And if he can send those darts in there and they start making like, I just lose my purpose. Because you'll get focused on everything else. Help me, somebody. God has put his spirit inside you, and he's looking for a body, a person that loves him enough to say, I will not waver. I won't go this way or that way, be tossed to and fro, because God, you are my Savior. You're my everything. Your word is true. It is yes and amen. And if you say I'm supposed to prosper, by God, and that's only why, you will prosper. You will bless the work of my hands, then put my hands to work. What do you want me to do? You will be able to cast out demons, cast out devils. If I can do it, you say I can do it, I can do it. Why? Because he said I could do it. I don't have to have 17 other confirmations. If God told you to do something, listen, church, do it. He told Kim and I, we have to stretch these cords. We have to make more room. We have to do this and do that. I'm like, I'm on it. We're going to believe God till we are running 50 million services if that's what he wants. But we're going to see people healed. We're going to see people delivered. Listen to me. We're going to raise the dead. We're going to do what the Bible says. These signs will follow them that believe. Are you a believer? It doesn't matter what darts the enemy throws at you. Because once you have your purpose and you are set in the ways of God, some of you are going to go, I want to see how he did that. I really don't know. Something to do with the molecular structure of the water in the bag, but let's just pretend, okay? So we have to reject fear. Because that's, did you know unbelief, the very root of unbelief is fear? That's what it is. If you don't believe something, it's because you're afraid. It's because the enemy's tried to buy the lie. You know, I'm just saying. There's things that, you know, I just found out today. I had a conversation with Kim, and this is just what I'm saying. I'm like, okay, this is what's going through my mind. But you know what the Lord's told me? I get it. But I get it. I have to push the stake further. Do you understand? I have to be more intentional. Does that make sense? You have to be more intentional. We have to say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And if we do what he's telling us to do, and the enemy's like, don't do that, don't do that. He puts that in there. Doesn't matter because I have my purpose. I have my orders. If you don't deal with the fear that you're dealing with, it'll start working on your mind. You got to put it to rest. You got to put it in its place. Fear will rob you of the blessings of God. Do you know it's impossible to worry and trust God at the same time? I heard some believers say, I was in a meeting. By the way, y'all, I don't know why I'm saying y'all today. Anyway, I was in a meeting, and I had the privilege, I got to pray with the city, the mayor of the city. I'm going to get to do that once a month. And he wants that. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I get to pray with the county commissioners twice a month. I've been doing that for years. And they want that. Thank you, Jesus. But we have to be the agents of God. I'd like to be like, I'm Gleespen, Brett Gleespen. Bum, 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 bum. Ba-da-doo. I don't know why I'm so wound. I had a week off. That's why. But unbelief, that pressure, that's all fear-based. So you just want to grab a hold of the Word of God and start doing what God wants you to do. Fear will keep you away from the promises and following God. You know, when the Israelites couldn't enter the Promised Land, it's not because God didn't want them there. It's not because they were so unworthy. He was trying to teach them something. As far as he was just showing you can take it, he already told them you can take it. It was their unbelief. He said, take the land. And they said, they're big. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. That's what we think, and that's what they think. You know, I want to be like, how do you know what they think? But that's the statement that came back. This world's nuts, isn't it? There's a lot of stuff going, you're like, wow. But we still can have peace. We can still have God's rest. But we have to make God forefront. He's got to be center. The only antidote, you know what the antidote to fear is? Believe. Stop doubting and just believe. Faith cancels fear. Jairus came and said, Jesus, you got to come and touch my daughter. Because she's about dead. And they stopped him. And Jesus had already told him. He said, okay, I'll go. Wouldn't you like to have Jesus' attention like that? You do. He says, okay, I'll go. And they stopped and said, don't bother him anymore. She's already died. Jesus says, don't be afraid, only believe. Do you understand what he said before? Don't be afraid, because fear will bring in doubt. Jesus said, okay, I'll go. Just believe. Only believe. That's why my wife, that's one of her favorite words around our house. At different times of our houses that we've had the word believe all different places. Jesus knows fear cancels out faith. Believing would release miracle-working power. What do you believe today? When a bad report comes, do you say, I refuse to fear? That's what Kim does. That's what I do. I refuse. And you can see that beautiful little finger. I refuse. This is not directed at you. I refuse to fear. I will not. I need you to stand in agreement with me. And I'll just say, yes, baby, we will agree. And we'll pray right there. You overcome unbelief because you reject the spirit of fear. The enemy's going to send you a package. Don't sign for it. Don't sign for it. You know, if they bring you a package and you don't want it, I'm not signing for it. If you have to sign for it to take it, maybe you don't want it. If you don't sign for it, they take it back. Give him back his own garbage. If you said, well, Brad, I messed up. I was out loud. I said this. I said that. Then just repent. Break the spoken words. Don't let unbelief be the last thing that came out of your mouth. So as soon as you, you know, most, if you're walking with God and you say something that's wrong, you'll figure it out, because you won't feel settled about it. So then just say, Father, I'm sorry, I break that in Jesus' name. Whatever your word says, then you can find that word. You can actually apply it, because his word doesn't come back void. Fear, you get out in Jesus' name. Here's our last one for today. Breaking unbelief, just believe in God's love. You know, I mean, there's that song, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. We do, but we need God's love. World's got their own views of love, but God's love goes and past anything you could ever imagine. 1 John 4:16, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. The phrase believed the love. Known and believed the love. That's cool. We're not talking about any love. Again, just like God sent us the measure of faith, we're talking about the love, not just any love. Because people used to ask me stuff like this, because we raised our kids and we did the best we could, and they'd say, did you allow your kids when they were in school to, you know, like in, you do whatever you want, so I'm not judging or condemning, like in middle school, have boyfriends and girlfriends. We did not. At least if they did, we didn't know about it. But we did not, because we stayed close with our family, and they were homeschooled anyway. That helped. Mal thought they're boys that were cute, and she went to private school before, and the boys went to private school a few years, and they thought they're girls that were pretty. I don't mean that, but I mean, here's what happens in the world system, and listen to me, and this is a whole other can of worms. I'm not going to get into it. Maybe someday we will, but we didn't want them to do that. We wanted them to have friends, because what we did when they had boyfriend and girlfriend early, their heart got broken. You understand how many you had? She was my steady, and now she's not. Now I'm gone with her, and now she's my steady, and she has the same story, and I'm here and here. And they've had 4, 5, 6 boyfriends, girlfriends, or whatever. I haven't taught them anything. Yeah, I tell you what I've taught them. I've taught them how to divorce. That's what I've taught them. I don't want them to know that. I want them to have friends and just enjoy the age they're at and be a friend. Have them over. Have the whole gang over. And that's what we did. We just have them over, and we'd, you know, do stuff at our house, and we'd let all their friends come and stuff like that. Now, we weren't big into sleepovers or anything like that, but we just wanted them to have friends. Though there's a reason. And our reason was, we want to keep these kids. We had people tell us, your kids are so naive. Well, they're my kids. Well, you want me to tell, your kids are so worldly. You know, that's not right. I'm not going to go back and, well, let me tell you something. I'm just like, I'm doing the best I can with raising them the best way we can. Did we do it perfect? Nope. Would we go back and change some things? Probably. But we're talking about the love, friends. Not just any love. The love. There's a lot of depth there. Because the Bible says God is love. He is love. He doesn't just have love. He doesn't just give it. He is it. That's him. God is love. It's a powerful force, and it gives you an abundant life. Have you ever had to love somebody that seems unlovable? There's people that have hurt you in the past. You still have to love them. I think of Joyce Meyer and her father. She got abused when she was growing up. She had to go and forgive him, and she bought him a house and everything else because of the love. Because she's not carrying that with her. She wants to live free. I know there's people in this room that have been hurt, but you have the love of God. And if you will let the love of God that's in you, then forgive them. Jesus forgave you. God is love. 1 John 4:6. He does not love, does not know God, for God is love. Maybe you're saying the same thing this morning. Jesus, don't you care that I'm sick? Don't you care that I'm in this financial situation that's in dire need? Do you care that I've been wronged? And that's where we get it messed up, because our mindset is wrong. Israelites messed that up. God sent Moses, and they thought Moses was trying to kill him. I hear believers all the time, or people that aren't believers, but people say all the time, well, God called me into ministry, but I guess I'm going to die miserable here. I believe that you have to be poor. We have people actually tell us this. God wants you poor so you can serve him. Where's that? Well, God's teaching me a lesson. He's putting sickness on my baby so that I'll be brought down a couple notches. What? What kind of a father would do that? Would you put sickness on your child? God doesn't do that. The enemy comes to. Yes. He brings that. God doesn't. But we have the authority to overcome those things by breaking unbelief. God never puts. You know who he put sickness on? Jesus. That's the only person he put it on. You know who he put poverty on? Jesus. Jesus died on the cross, took all of that for you and I. He's not giving it to us. He gave it to him so it could be paid for. Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God. God is love. So that's really saying just have faith in the love of God. You can overcome unbelief if you know the will of God. You believe it without a doubt. Receive the unending love of him, and you'll see things just start changing. Now, as I close this out, I want you to think of that. Think of that illustration of you've come so far, you have this purpose. And as soon as you get, sometimes I feel like people say, I'll take one step forward and five steps back. That's the enemy just throwing those darts. You know why? Because you're making advances. That's why. That's why he's fighting you. I have people tell me, the enemy, he doesn't ever do anything to me. Well, probably because you're not doing anything for God. I mean, that's kind of tough to say, but really, you will have opposition. So you just go after what God has. You focus. And the enemy will shoot darts. Doesn't matter, because you have the love of God. You know his will. You know your purpose. You are on assignment. And if you do what I'm telling you today, you will fight unbelief and you will win, because Jesus already beat it. You fight unbelief and you fight fear with faith.